This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, my name is Mike Marochka. That's Polish, and if you never pronounce that correctly, that's fine. I'm not easily offended. I used to work as a senior software engineer at a bunch of different companies, including sort of Google, Salesforce, General Electric, and other places like that. And now I teach people how to pass difficult coding interviews specifically, and am an interview coach for folks that I do private interview coaching.
This is the first episode of a series about beyond cracking the coding interview with Mike Marochka. Mike Marochka is a former senior software engineer at companies like Google and Salesforce, and is currently a tech consultant. He has a decade of coaching experience in helping coach engineers into landing their dream roles at big companies. He recently authored the book Beyond Cracking the Coding Interview, which is the officially endorsed sequel to the original best-selling book, Cracking the Code Interview. Aside from coaching, Mike also consults for companies on how to improve their hiring processes, guarding against AI-assisted cheating, which is a specialty Mike consults about. His writing on the topic have been featured on Hacker News, Business Insider, and Wired. Some of his most popular content titles are A Senior Engineer's Guide to the System Design Interview, and How Hard Is It to Cheat in Technical Interviews with ChatGPT? We ran an experiment to check. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lance. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So, Mike, why do you care about all these coding interviews?
Oh, man, have you ever had one of those coworkers that, like, you know you're smarter than, and you're like, how is he a level ahead of me? Like, these coding interviews matter for this exact reason. It's really kind of an important thing to just make sure we get right, that companies get right, and that we actually can get in order to get the jobs we actually care about.
Cool. So in your journey to getting where you are today, did you have to go through a few coding interviews?
Yeah, definitely. I done my fair share. I started early on kind of caring about these sorts of things, the data structures and algorithms, coding interviews, if you've ever heard of a website called Lead Code, where you can practice those sorts of things.
Yeah.
I was sort of an early lead coder, and yeah, I actually got addicted to it. I liked doing it just because I thought the puzzles were fun. So I'm one of the very rare species that actually enjoys the kind of puzzles of that kind of thing. But yeah, then it kind of led into getting offers at big tech companies, including Google, where I worked up until writing a book.
Cool. What inspired that? You know, because writing's hard work, and I like to remind everybody who listens to the show that it's easy to read a book, but it's a lot harder to write a book.
Well, actually, that's funny. I think I have a slightly different take. I do think that writing a book is actually very easy. It's the editing the book that's really, really difficult.
Okay,
so
the
final book that I wrote, it's called Beyond Cracking the Coding Interview. And I wrote it with three other co-authors, but the book was 600 and something pages at the end, and it was twice as long before we cut it down. So it's amazing.
Wow.
Just how many things there are to talk about just about these very specific coding interviews.
Wow. So there's a series of them. Tell us about that.
Yeah. The original came out back in kind of around 2008, it was Cracking the Coding Interview. And the reason why it was so big, it's like a huge bestseller. It's the number one best-selling interview book on Amazon and has been for a long time. And the reason it did so well is because it demystified the process of, like, what are Google interviews like? And the way it used to work is you had to know somebody that could give you some insider information. And there was a lack of transparency. So the original came out, and a lot of people actually sort of dislike the fact that it sort of provided that transparency. They're like, oh no, we're now sort of turning this into a prep game, sort of like an SAT test or something like that. But the benefit is this increased transparency meant it's kind of led to sort of a meritocracy. I think to a certain extent you can go through and you can actually prep to do these things very well if you put in the work ahead of time. I think it lets you do a lot better than a lot of your peers. So it's kind of it was an important thing to kind of get right. And now with the recent market changes and everything like that, I think there's been huge changes just to the market since the pandemic and then everything kind of after that, and that's led to some big improvements of what we actually do in coding interviews and why the need for a second sequel.
Nice. And so that's why Beyond is to kind of like refresh what was there before.
Absolutely. Yeah. The beyond is sort of like, you know, everything that we used to do, even just, you know, as recently as 5 years ago, is now sort of harder to do. We have actually data. I pair with the CEO of Interviewing.io, and her name's Aileen. She was actually one of the co-authors. And we've sort of, you know, looked at the data, and we see that technical interviewers are actually getting harder over time. And that's kind of a big reason why it's kind of important to really spend more time, dedicated efforts, prepping for these sorts of things.
Wow, they're getting harder over time. That's interesting. I mean, I remember, let's see, so I'm going to date myself a little bit, in the 1990s, practicing and taking interviews from Microsoft. Yes. And they were reputed to be the tough guys in the room. Mm-hmm. I remember conceptual interviews, and we didn't have coding interviews at the time, and maybe that's a later stage, and maybe I didn't get to that stage. Yeah. So tell me more. Like, why is it getting harder? What's going on there?
Yeah, a couple of things are contributing to it. What I would say is that, you know, you got a lot of people in 2020 just kind of realizing that they didn't like their current jobs, and they decided to sort of like, let's actually go for it. Let's go for the dream company. And then the dream companies tend to be what pays the most, and that tends to be big tech. So I think that's kind of led to even more people sort of practicing for this thing. If you're kind of alone in a room by yourself for extended periods of time, you can practice lead code quite a lot. And that led to a lot of people kind of grinding for it. And that's one of the things. The other big thing that's kind of made a difference over time, I think, is the fact that we now have AI that's entering the scene. And that's kind of a really hot button topic. People are like, the coding interviews suck. They're terrible. And they dislike it, especially, I think, because they know that there are at least some percentage of people that are using tools to actually cheat in coding interviews.
Okay. Yeah, just a quick background on myself. So my experience with coding interviews, I feel like it wasn't that hard in the 90s. It wasn't easy in the 90s, don't get me wrong. But what I see myself doing now, because, you know, I'm actually looking for my next gig, and a friend of mine warned me, said, hey, Lance, before you go to interview at any of the FAANG companies, you got to go through LeetCode and you got to practice up this and that. And I go, because I realize I'm usually interviewing for consulting jobs, and consulting jobs is a different type of interview. It's more about experience and dealing with the people systems, and not so much about can you write a linked list insertion in right. order one right. or something like that. That was a good warning from him, because he's been interviewing for the FAANG companies, and he went through LeetCode, and he said it really helped him get through those interviews. So he says, you know, it's like exercising for the Olympics. You got to go get ready for the Olympics. And and so I've actually been going down the LeetCode path myself, and it's been kind of fun. Actually, I like, we were talking a little earlier before we started the recording. You mentioned that you liked, you enjoyed the practice, and I enjoy it too. And it's a review of a lot of the things I knew, but it's maybe not easy to recall. Yeah. So, but it's getting harder. So tell me more about that. Can you quantify that in any way?
Sure. Yeah. So we tracked Interviewing.io, a couple of things. I can link to the blog post maybe in the show notes, but the quantification is it's about 15% harder than it was. Okay. I think it was about 5 years ago. And we actually know that kind of anecdotally. We look at people and we ask, hey, what did you kind of got into Google 5 years ago, what kind of questions were you asked? And we see people were asked, like, you know, validate two, like a parentheses string, or like, you know, here's three sum, like find, you know, three numbers that sum to the zero in an array, or like some questions like this. And now those are considered, you know, mediums to easies on this LeetCode platform that we practice on. And now we're typically getting asked things like mediums and even sometimes hards.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Yeah. I don't know if it's awesome or not, because one of the conversations that my friend and I had was, we realized when we were talking about this, is that it's not really preparatory for software engineering. It just kind of shows you people that you can use your mind and maybe apply coding to a problem you never encountered before. But software engineering feels like there's a lot more to it than that. And so for example, the consulting companies, how we do interviews for and how we interview people is usually around like refactoring code. So we put them in a code base and say, hey, can you change this code base by adding some tests? And so we have a different focus, but it's, yeah. So if you were really good at LeetCode, you may not be very good at writing test automation, and that would come out.
Absolutely. Yeah. You might say I'm a better LeetCoder than I am a software engineer. I'm not sure for sure, but don't hold me to that. But I think a lot of people have sort of this this angst around these types of questions, especially because it's not what they do in their day job. So for one, they're naturally going to be worse at it. What I would say is that I think I'd push back to that just slightly, the idea that it's not at all related to the day job. And while I understand that there are emphasis on refactoring and code quality, and certainly all of those things are hugely valuable, I think there's sort of almost a dismissal of data structures and algorithms at large, even though they're used every day. Like we use them, like, you know, we use hash tables all the time to kind of look up things. We use sets to sort of deduplicate items. If you're a front end engineer and you're working in the DOM, that's a tree. You might need to traverse I've written, you know, a depth first search to traverse the DOM before in the front end. I've recognized that a problem needed binary search to solve it with an API to be able to more quickly index into a poorly written, you know, API that I didn't control. It was controlled by a third party. I've even had dynamic programming show up before. So these sorts of things do show up. And it's kind of a matter of like, are you aware of what these tools are? It's like, do you know what a sliding window is? And it's okay if you don't. There's no judgment there. But I think these tools do end up making you a better engineer. And it's one of the many things in the tool set, including refactoring and more practical things like, can you build an app or can you design an API and other things like that.
Agile Thoughts wants your help. However you find our show, be it through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation systems, go ahead and leave us a review. Click some stars, and that will help us grow the show. Thank you. Each episode of our series comes with show notes, and within there you will see some notes that we may allude to during the show, or there are some other things that are out there on the internet, some resources that you can learn more about Mike Marajka or code interviewing. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player. They zip right in and you can just tap on it. It's so convenient and easy. But hey, if you downloaded the MP3, you can get the show notes back at the website where you downloaded the MP3. Next episode, more Mike Marajka.
What we're talking about is a company that has hundreds of thousands of software engineers, Google, Meta, Amazon. The scale at which some of these things need to be done. Yes, it'd be great to hop into every interview and do a pair programming session for half an hour to get a sense as to whether or not somebody kind of knows what they're doing. But there's sort of environment set up and there are problems that kind of make that not scale particularly well. The fun part about coding interviews is that it sort of, again, makes it kind of a level playing field. Everyone knows kind of the topics that are being asked, roughly speaking, and it's just sort of this one topic. It's like you don't need to write concurrency code. You don't need to worry about lambdas or functional programming or any of the other things that do make us potentially good developers. It's just kind of one area.